The text for tonight's message is from Deuteronomy chapter 8 as we come to this word. Would you bow your hearts and heads with me in thanksgiving prayer? We thank you, Lord, that love has found us and that every day of our lives, every moment that goes by, you hold us in your providential care. We always live perfectly in your providence. Help us see providence tonight, and through Jesus, give you true thanks. Amen. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday ever. I'm not exactly sure why that is, what it was about my upbringing, my time with my crazy, zany Seidler family, my five brothers and sisters, but Thanksgiving is just the best. My mother-in-law, who is here tonight, by the way, everybody say hello, mother-in-law.
Hello,
mother-in-law. My mother-in-law asked a silly question tonight at dinner. She said, "Now, Scott, am I making the gravy tomorrow?" Are you making the gravy? Yes, you're making the gravy. Thanksgiving is not the same if my mother-in-law, helped by my father-in-law, everybody say hello, father-in-law. Hello, father-in-law. If they are not there tending this vat of gravy, the gravy, as I have preached, I think, for 12 Thanksgivings, Dave, makes Thanksgiving. It holds it all together. It is a metaphor, a visual image of God's great love for us in Jesus. Well, that may be excessive. That's excessive. I understand, but you get my point. Thanksgiving. It is a time when, idealistically, the ideal is we land at our Thanksgiving dinner table or in the company of our Thanksgiving friends, and with smiles on our faces, we somehow express thankfulness to God. Typically, this thankfulness comes because God has provided for us. He has shown himself to be a provider. He is a God who is the giver of provisions, and all of this providing of provisions is what we in the church generally call God's providence. It is his providential care of creation. But you all know that there are times when we land at not just a Thanksgiving dinner table, but other dinner tables where we are called to say, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed." We say thank you to God through our gracious prayers. And yet, there is not a clear picture of what God actually provided in the recent past. I remember landing at Thanksgiving dinner tables throughout my life, and frankly, there were times where there was more loss than provision. There was more upset than joy. And yet, because of the sheer force of our culture and this national civic holiday going all the way back to the days of the Pilgrims and Squanto and Massasoit, we are compelled to land at a table or at least pass through 24 hours where we are bidden to say thank you, and especially to say thank you to God. I am well aware in our generally agrarian history, our agricultural folklore, that there have been, over the course of our American history, times where farmers landed at their Thanksgiving feast and they had a year of bumper crops, and when they landed at that dinner table, they said thank you. And you also know with me that there are times in drought or in flood where there were many, many farmers who landed at their Thanksgiving dinner tables wondering if they would have a house over their heads to last them through the next Thanksgiving. And yet, within our life, as a country, but even more so as children of God, We are called this day to recognize that when we have provision, or even in the absence of the provision and providence that we expect, there is still the invitation by God to say thank you. The children of Israel traveled. They traveled with Moses out of Egypt to the promised land, and I assume that over those 40 years, there were some days where they had serious doubts about whether God was a provider, whether or not his provision could be counted on, whether or not that divine providence that was part of his character actually was in any way real or meaningful for them as his covenant people. Yeah, I imagine that as they went through the wilderness, there were many times when their clothes may have not been worn out and their feet weren't blistering, but good golly, did they just wish they'd get to the land flowing with milk and honey so they could put their feet up and say, "Thank you, God, we're finally home." But the calling that God places upon his people is a calling of trust. The calling that God places on his people is a calling of faithfulness when the provision is not so obvious. The calling that God places on us as his children is not just to remember him with great thankfulness in years of plenty, but to also find ways to say thank you to God in years of want. I don't know what kind of dinner table you will be landing at this Thanksgiving. I don't know what flavor of gravy that you will have tomorrow. Whether it will be rich and savory, or whether it will be bitter with the salt of fresh tears. But one thing I know is this, is that the providential care of God for his people is always perfect. It has been what has kept God's people at peace, even in the darkest times. It is what has allowed God's people to shout to him thanksgiving and amen, even when there was very little they were holding in their hands at that particular table in time. My brothers and sisters, I don't know whether you're eating with your mother-in-laws and father-in-laws tomorrow, or whether you're eating with your dogs and cats that are getting some scraps from the table. But here's the challenge that I give to you today. It is to remember the providential care of God, a providential care of God which is perfected in the giving of his Son, Jesus Christ, in the giving of his Son, Jesus Christ, who in his mercy comes to us in our doubts, in our disgust over what God has not given us, a perfect providential gift to us in Jesus that says, remember, my providential care began before the creation of the world, and it will surely carry my covenant people all the way to the end of that world. Through lands flowing with milk and honey, or maybe those sweet potatoes with the marshmallows on top. God's providential care perfected in Christ will lead us through bitter tears. It will lead us through empty seats at tables that used to be occupied more fully than they are today. But we lean on the providential arms of our Heavenly Father. We see his provision. We see, we dedicate our vision to his Son, Jesus. And then we find rest in our souls. In advance of the feast, you get a foretaste here. We're not going to serve turkey, but we are going to serve communion. We're not going to have pumpkin pie, but we will provide a grace that is sweet for your soul. So that as you nail on these very familiar cushions tonight, as you receive this very, very frequent meal here at Concordia, that you would know how special the providential care that meal contains is for your soul. And whatever the burdens that you bear, whatever the concerns that you shoulder, that you would bring them to these kneeling cushions, and that you would hear from the expanse and the horizon of heaven, God speak a word to you as he spoke to his people, has spoken to his people through all time and place. It's weary, but not so weary that I am without grace for you today, without hope for you today, and most of all, without a destination for you today. There is a table at which you will land as his covenant people. I remind you of that. This table today, may it be a foretaste of that table. Amen. And may the peace of God now, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts, your minds in Christ Jesus, both now and forever. Amen.